Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worse half, Tim Foley. How you doing, Caitlin?
Yay, Kimber.
Been a couple of days, wrote a couple of articles.
Aside from the fact that we were babysitting last night, so we couldn't actually do a podcast, we may have been able to fit one in between, you know, bottles and changes and stuff. But also, the article that I wrote was just pretty much cheerleading the fact that Ben Swan was back.
Right. Yeah. So we got a couple of them. We can maybe make a whole podcast out of the two that we have.
Yeah.
Because you wrote one that was just cheerleading and one that was satire.
Sheer satire. Also difficult to talk about.
We can chat about those. We can chat about what else has been going on. The Shane Bauer drama keeps unfolding. Michael Tracy, Abby Martin, Aaron Mate have all weighed in on it.
Yeah, which has been great. That's been really comforting, and everyone is kind of like, stepping up to the plate about this, because it's really important. It's so important. The more I think about it, it's so important. I can't believe, I don't write for the MSM because no one will hire me, obviously. Mm. And, even the kind of sort of, I can't write for the MSM because they won't publish me. That's fine. So I think, all right, I'll just write on Facebook and get a Medium account and do it that way. And then they chase you, those entitled pricks. Aren't they just fucking, they come at, you are just editing your paper, mate. Just like, oh my God, he's come out of the blocks and stuff and started like wagging his finger, chasing me around.
Yeah, it's not enough for MSM to shut out dissenting voices. They chase, MSM chases after you.
Yes.
And says, no, you're not allowed to talk at all.
At all.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Not on Medium, not on Twitter, you don't get to say anything ever.
Yeah.
You can say it quietly to yourself into your pillow at night as you cry yourself to sleep. That's all you get to do.
Right.
It's so obnoxious. Yeah, so Shane Bauer, if anyone missed it, he's the senior reporter for
Mother Jones.
I was going to say Daily Beast again.
I can't.
They're the same outlet to me now.
Oh, right.
Well. He said it's not enough that Medium is censoring right-wing accounts because it deleted Cernovich Posobiec and the Laura Loomer lady. And he said they also need to get rid of left-wing accounts like Caitlin because it's the stuff she's been saying about Syria.
Yeah.
So he's like... he doesn't think you should be allowed to talk. Like, this is just a place where... Like, Medium is a place where anyone writes. Like, it's not...
It's like Blogger or WordPress or whatever.
It's not like there's any sort of editorial... People will write a paragraph about their cat, and seven people will read it.
Yes.
You know, that's most of everything on there. That's most of all the content.
And there is, you can become a member and stuff and then hook up to their money thing, but I'm not a part of that. I'm just in their regular... Blogger bit.
Right. You've never charged for anything on Medium.
Never. No.
Never charged for an article.
No. I haven't even, I haven't even signed up to that bit.
Right.
So I'm just using it as my blogging platform. And he's still, I actually regretted because I wrote that story, which we have already talked about, but I wrote that story and then got more angry about it.
Right.
Yeah. The rage has built.
You had a lot more to say about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
fuck these assholes.
Yes. Just because I don't have the same opinion.
It's not enough for them to shut down any skepticism of Iraq's next door neighbor, a WMD narrative
right.
in the country right next door to Iraq. You're not allowed to question that anywhere.
No.
It's not enough for them to completely forbid any back and forth dialogue on their platform. They need to stop anyone from having any platform, including just an average, it's basically, having a Medium account is basically having a long form Twitter account.
Well, that was what it was set up for.
It's functionally what it's owned by the same guy as Twitter. The CEO is the co-founder of Twitter.
Right.
So that's fucked up. Well, you had a little rant about anti-Semitism.
Oh, yeah. I'm so fucking sick of, like, you know, like, we're dealing with big problems here, and you have to say things about things, and then, so I'll get it right. I will get it right, and I'll say exactly what I want to say, and then some asshole will come in and say, oh, well, you're not exact. You are like, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, touch the nose. I know what you're really talking about. You're trying to say it's the Jews.
The Jews.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No, I am not. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it happens all the time. You see the same, they use the same phrase over and over again, don't they? It's like, you just don't have the courage to say the real thing.
Yeah, the real reason.
The real reason.
And then someone will come in and say, well, what is the real reason? Yeah. Oh, well.
They try to get people to say, oh, well, since you asked, yeah. Here's this ancient, archaic, you know why anti-Semitism exists? Like, these dickheads will try to say, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, every culture that the Jews have gone to has been, they've hated them. That's bullshit. You know why the Jews are so hated?
Why?
It's because centuries and centuries and centuries ago, Christians weren't allowed to collect taxes.
Oh.
They had a, it was against their religion.
Oh, right.
But it wasn't against the Jewish people's religion. So they wound up as the tax collectors.
All right. So, that will make you a little bit unpopular.
Very unpopular, right? You're the guy going up there collecting taxes on behalf of the king. And so you know, the families established these money businesses and they got good at it. Mm. So that's it. That's the whole story. The whole story about the Jewish people are bankers. Yeah, a lot of them are. That's because they were an extremely persecuted race, and they were told you're only allowed to have these jobs because that's the one job we don't want.
Right.
And yeah, they were placed into these reviled positions by the Gentiles. Anyway, so it's this old, archaic belief system.
So poisonous, and it's very real. And so whenever you know, you'll try and say something about Israel and you will get called an anti-Semite about their policy. And so
that's guaranteed.
Yeah, that's guaranteed. And that's very frustrating because, you know, you're actually trying to say something legitimate. The thing is, there is real anti-Semitism. And it's underground, and it's real, and it's disgusting.
And it's fucking, it just ruins everything. Like, you try to say something about Israel, and then people come in saying, oh, you're an anti-Semite. And you're like, oh, fuck you. No, I'm not. This is an actual thing, and, you know, Israel is doing these things, and they're doing this and that to the Palestinians. Some cunt will come in
yes.
and post one of those big-nosed Jewish caricatures.
Yes.
Right in there.
Right in there.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation here.
Yeah.
Get out.
So they are, yeah, they're everywhere. Anyway, I did a tweet storm about that because I want to get rid of them. I want them out. They're just, they just disgust me.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Go away. Get off my wall.
It's just bad thinking.
Right. Well, yeah, it just revolts me, you know. Because they are really kind of secret Nazis.
Yes, and that's what everyone's accusing you of being. So when you're going around trying to share your stuff, and then these assholes come in sharing their Jewish caricature memes on your thing,
it's just like, oh.
It makes you look like a Nazi. Yeah. Oh, look at Caitlin saying she's not a Nazi when these Nazis just love her.
And having said that, just talking about censorship, they're entitled to their view. I just don't want them on my page.
Yeah. I mean, at least, I mean, it's good. It's good that you let them know that you think they're idiots.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
So you wrote two articles. The first one was
Ben Swan. Ben Swan is back.
The return of Ben Swan may be the most interesting thing happening in alternative media right now.
I'm so excited about it. He's so schmick. That's an Australian word. But he's hella schmick. Like, he's just really, he's really suave. And he's got that MSM polish, and you know, and the presentation is fantastic. Like he's come back with, you know.
Well, tell people what his thing is. What does he do?
Okay, well, Ben Swan, he was on CBS in Georgia, like on their local network, state network, and he was doing these little 5-minute reality checks, which were mind blowing. Like because not because of the content, we're kind of like. Knew the content, although he is a very good researcher and he's really good at packing together really nuggets of information, bang, 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 and presenting them really well. But the fact was that they were really reality checks. Like he really was reality checking the mainstream media story with, you know, with what the facts are. So he did ones on, like, he did ones on Syria, which were like he got really slammed for.
Yeah, he did he was talking about how Syria, the Syrian rebels are actually violent jihadist groups.
Yes.
Back when you weren't allowed to say that. Back when that was considered conspiracy theory. Like now it's just yeah, of course, obviously everyone knows that. But when he did it, that was a controversial thing to say.
It was.
And it was not common sense at all, but he was right there saying it on corporate media with the little CBS logo in the corner.
Yeah, which was just astounding. and he did. Every one of them was fantastic. It was a really good resource for me as a journalist to have them because he really did pack in so much research and facts in 5 minutes. And then he did one on Pizzagate.
Balls the size of
I know, Cadillac. Man. Yeah. So yeah, like wow.
But that was it. That was it. You're just not allowed to say that. He didn't actually say, yeah, Pizzagate is definitely a thing or anything.
No.
He just said, yeah, we're allowed to ask questions. Here's some weird shit.
Yeah.
I bet you didn't know about.
And just,
it was stuff I'd never heard of. Like, I'd been paying attention to the Pizzagate thing because, like, what the fuck? I didn't know about some of them.
Oh, no, it was really, really great. He really, you know, and yeah, and he just said, we should be able to talk about this, and this is why we should be able to talk about this, and here are the weird things. and he did even do it. He did do it from the pizza angle. He did it from the James Elefantis angle, which was, you know, even a lot of people shied away from that quite quickly because he James Elefantis was crying. Witch hunt, witch hunt. But, you know, anyway.
With his weird Instagram stuff.
Oh, no. He'd been courting that at least as a cool thing for a long time.
But yeah, anyone who said anything about that was just immediately, instantly attacked, like ferociously by the MSM and all their loyalists. Because some guy shot a floor.
Yeah.
Some guy shot a floor. Poor floor.
Oh, we cry for the floor.
And that alone is worth shutting down all dissenting narratives about everything.
Yes. And, you know, we're talking about children and pedophilia here.
Right. Like the fact that there was a fairly powerful and influential Washington figure with these weird Instagram stuff. Never actually was addressed. Nobody talked about it.
No one said, it's kind of weird that he covered himself in like what looked like blood.
And that picture of the girl looking and being taped to the table and stuff.
Yeah. And there was some really weird
Nobody like asked him about that, but you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to ask questions. So Ben Swan comes in and goes, yeah, actually, we are allowed to ask questions. And here's some weird things.
Yeah. So he did 5 minutes of it. Oh my God, it was fantastic. And then gone, just silence. And he said, my Twitter page is going dark. Don't worry. Trust me. You know, all my stuff is going dark. And it did. It just disappeared.
For a whole year.
For a whole year. And it was frightening, actually. I hated when it happened. Like, I had to have a little cry about it.
Yeah.
It was really weird. He just disappeared. But he didn't actually disappear. He was still on CBS in Georgia. Mm. Actually, one of our readers gave CBS there a ring, and he actually talked to her. So she was okay. He was alive.
Yeah, but he was just doing regular newscasting things without his reality check segment.
I mean, you know, forgive us for being paranoid, but some weird shit has happened lately.
Right.
So Yeah, so he was just doing his regular gig. And then, now a year later, he turns back up again. Ben Swan is back.
He's got some great videos out.
Already, yes. So, yeah, he found himself a good sponsor because he does need a lot of money to produce, you know, good videos and stuff. So
because they're so schmick.
Yeah, because they're schmick. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but they're just as good quality as the ones he was doing in the CBS studio.
Yeah.
And really, really professional, really well put together. A lot of sources. He did that one on the sanctions was so great.
Yeah.
So badly needed.
Yeah, so badly needed.
About how evil and ineffectual they are.
And just that, like, you know, they were killing people.
Yeah, and how spurious the notion, the reasons for it are and stuff. He's really a really great resource if you want to show someone a quick 5-minute clip saying, yeah, okay, well, here's a 5-minute clip completely debunking everything you believe about this one issue.
Yes. Effectively.
Yeah, he's a really great resource for that.
Yeah.
He's not quite our people, right? He's like a...
He's a libertarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got stuff about, like, gun rights that we don't really care about.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It's not, like, a lot of right-wing stuff.
Well, I didn't even know that until I saw that he self-declared that. So, yeah. So that.
Yeah, you would think from a lot of the stuff he makes that he's a left-winger. Because, you know, a lot of right-wingers don't care about North Korea. Or they think it's good to be awful to them.
Right.
But the real Ron Paul libertarian and Daniel McAdams, they get it. They're really clear on North Korea.
Yeah.
So
he must be one of those crew. Anyway, yeah, so that's Ben Swan. Like, so yeah, I like highly recommend.
Yeah, pay attention to this guy. He's expect big things from him because and just yeah, keep paying attention to the stuff that he's cranking out.
Because we've really just got to like push that guy out as far as we can because really he is, you know, I can do my best here, but like that guy he's got everything going on. He looks just the same as the mainstream media, and he's got it all down. And it's 5 minutes, you can just debunk anyone's like weirdo propaganda beliefs, and he's just a great resource. Yeah, and if we can get him as far out into the mainstream as possible, that would be fantastic. He's a really, in terms of the media war, that guy is a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. And the other one you wrote about was you did a satire piece titled "Psychiatrists Baffled by Mental Disorder, Which Only Afflicts Leaders Who Refuse to Bow to U.S. Interests."
Right.
Yeah, and it's a done like kind of like an Onion article. It's a funny bit, but it makes a really important point about how these world leaders, as soon as they stop capitulating to U.S. interests, all of a sudden, they're crazy. Yeah. They're mentally ill.
Yeah.
Why are they so crazy? They just love killing civilians all of a sudden.
Yeah, cool. Because science, you know, that's how we can tell that they're crazy. So, like, yeah, and it always happens. It's, you know,
You interviewed Vanessa Beely a few months ago, and she said something that just blew my mind. She said, if you can't find anything anywhere about a single negative thing about Bashar al-Assad.
Right.
Prior to 2009.
Was her mark.
And then after that,
I did go and have a look.
Right, yeah.
Because I thought, well, fuck it, I'll test her out. Not that I don't trust her or anything, but I did want to see. It's true. It's absolutely true.
He was actually up for, like, knighthood.
Yeah. He was considered, like, you know, one of the shining lights of the Middle East, you know, and his lovely wife, who, you know, was from the UK. And
she had kind of a Jackie Kennedy thing going for her.
Yeah, and the actual Syria itself, like, was considered a wonderful holiday destination because it was so safe. In fact, no one was talking about him as a crazed, deranged, child-killing lunatic who enjoyed, you know, terrifying and terrorizing his own people.
Then all of a sudden,
2009.
All of a sudden, he's like, they want to put this pipeline in, and he's like, eh, no, I think I want to stick with the Russian interests on this one. And I got he had this whole plan to, I don't remember what he called it, the 5 C's or 5 C's plan or something like that.
Right.
To use his country's strategic location to make it into a superpower. And then all of a sudden he develops this, he magically develops this sexual fetish for gassing children.
And one of the really, like, annoying things was that they brought up the fact that the prisons in Syria are known for their torture. You know why the US knew about the prisons being good at torture? It was because the US had been renditioning anyone who was problematic to Syria to be tortured.
Right, yeah, for a long time, like before Bashar al-Assad was in power, it was his dad.
Right. Yeah, that was still that's how they knew, because they were using it. They were outsourcing their torture.
Oh my god! Yeah. Oh my god! They torture people over there. Did you heard of this? You monsters!
Right.
So and now, like, you got people like the fucking, what's that Daily Beast guy, Shane.
Bauer.
Mother Jones.
Mother Jones.
Shane Bauer.
Get it right, can you?
And they're saying like that we need to act. We need to act. The world is just standing by and not acting. You're talking about killing.
Yeah.
You're talking about killing Syrians until there is regime change. You're talking about going in there, doing exactly what you did to Iraq, and killing Syrian soldiers and civilians, because that's what happens when you bomb. That's why civilians are getting killed sometimes, because they're using bombs, and bombs kill civilians. You're talking about greatly escalating the violence in order to take Assad out of power. That's what you're talking about doing. And you're saying that is better than allowing the Syrians, Russians, and Iranians to restore stability to the region.
Exactly. But you know what? I saw something just before we came on, and I'll have to check it out. But it is an exciting development, I think. But I believe the guy who was tweeting this out was something to do. He was an editor or something of Washington Post. And he was lamenting the fact that every time they run a Syria story in their newsletter, their numbers take a dive religiously, right? So, because no one's buying it. No one's
Fuck
buying
you,
it.
Bezos.
Yeah.
Fuck you, CIA. No. Yeah.
So their subscriptions are dropping because no one's believing this propaganda anymore. In fact, it's not just that people are just like, oh, I don't buy that anymore. It's causing people to go, eh, and unsubscribe. That's a really good sign.
That's really great.
Because the Washington Post has been pretty religiously bad on the Syrian.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
They're no Guardian about it.
Yeah, but they're really bad.
They are really
They're
bad.
Absolutely awful, you know. And it's not like Washington Post gets by on its subscriptions. You know all that Bezos money is getting funneled in there.
I know. Why would you subscribe when the richest man in the world owns that newspaper? Why would you put your money like?
They don't need your money.
They
guys.
Don't need your money.
Bezos needs a propaganda outlet, and he'll pay as much money as he needs to keep it running.
Yes, the Washington Post will survive without your $3 a week or whatever it is.
He did not buy the Washington Post because he expected newspapers to make a lucrative resurgence.
This is not a running concern for him.
No.
It's just a mouthpiece for his many, many business interests, isn't it? So, yeah. Having said that, there are plenty of – I just subscribed to Crikey again this week, which is – Crikey is the Australian, a really good independent Australian newsletter. I may have done that because they might be running a profile piece on me. So I had the lovely Helen Razor come over for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah, she's delightful.
Yeah.
All right, shall we wrap?
Yeah, that's good.
Caitlin is an entirely reader and listener supported journalist. If you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal, links in the description. Or you can buy her book, Woke, A Field Guide for Utopia Preppers. Subscribe to Caitlin on Steemit, Medium, or get on our mailing list at caitlinjohnston.com so you get emails whenever she publishes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on.